Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have given us this opportunity tonight to come together at this particular moment in time, Lord, to hear the gospel proclaimed unto us. Lord, we are thankful for the medium that you have allowed us to have, Lord, to share your gospel to a lost and dying world. We are so privileged tonight that Brother Eddie Sanders is our speaker. Pray, Lord, that he will have a recollection of those things he has studied and prepared. Pray, Lord, that for every soul that is listening this evening, Lord, that they will listen to these Bible truths, follow along in the Bible and their own Bibles, Lord, and be able to see if those things are so. Pray, Lord, that someone's faith is strengthened this evening. Pray, Lord, that someone's heart is pricked this evening. Pray, Lord, that someone repents in accordance with what you would have us all to do in order to be saved. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We appreciate you so very much for supporting us and being my co-host. We thank you so very much for that. And the Manhattan Heights Church of Christ, where you serve. Tonight, we're very thankful to have each and every person on the call, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. And to those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are a very honored guest. You're the VIP of our audience. I started this call for the purpose of informing those who are not members of the Church of Christ of the basic beliefs that we have according to the scripture in the Churches of Christ. If you're on the call tonight and you've been invited by someone who is a member of the Church of Christ, or perhaps you heard about our call and you just wanted to learn more, we encourage you now to open your Bible and take notes of the things that we will talk about tonight. And I want you to pay particular attention to the things that our speaker will say as it pertains to the saving of your soul. Remember, you get one shot at this thing. Once you die, you can't come back and do it right. You got to do it right before you die. So we bring it on these speakers, and we thank you for allowing us to come into your home, in the privacy of your home, in the comfort of your home, and you can listen carefully to the things that will be spoken about from the scripture. Our theme this month is What Said the Scripture. And tonight I got a very special guest on tonight in the person of Brother Eddie Sanders. I've grown to know him, and I'm very fond of him and very thankful that we have men like him who still believe like I do. God said like that. But we believe that the Bible is right, very straight and narrow path for those who are trying to get to heaven. It was Jesus who said that there's a straight and narrow way, and he said few would find it. And I'm so thankful for Eddie's volunteer. He's a native of Paris, Tennessee, was baptized in the Lord's Church at the age of 9, been preaching the gospel since the age of 12, served in congregations in Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina. He currently is worshiping at the Salem Creek Church of Christ in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We heard his minister last night, Brother Ron Harper. So we are so thankful for him and tonight, Brother Sanders would tell us tonight, Brother Sanders, here's what I want you to do. What said the scripture, Brother Sanders, about the heart that's far from Jesus? The heart. We've been doing heart surgery this week. We want to tell you about this heart, the heart that's far from Jesus. Brother Sanders, help us out.
Brother Brooks and Brother Flunder, we really appreciate you and appreciate those of you who are listening tonight who are allowing us to come into your home. We really appreciate this opportunity to be able to say a word from the Word of God, and we hope, trust, and pray that much and everlasting good would come from the things that we say from God's Word on this evening. And the things that we'll say will not be my opinion or my worldview, but it will be from God's eternal Word of truth. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you please, to Matthew's Gospel chapter 15 and wait for me. Matthew the 15th chapter, and I'll be there in a few short minutes. But there was a man who owned an old pocket watch, and it looked like any other pocket watch, and it had a case, it had hands, and it had a face. It had a chain and all the parts that are necessary for the watch to carry out its functions as a timepiece. However, there was a problem with that watch. It wouldn't run. Well, Brother Sanders, why wouldn't the watch run? Well, it would not run because it had a problem with its heart. Inside the case, there's a spring that is the heart of the watch. That spring is essential to the proper operation of the watch as a timepiece. The spring, the heart of the watch, was defective. And the heart of the problem with the watch is a problem of the heart of the watch. There are some people who are just like this watch that I've been speaking of. On the outside, you look fine, you appear to be religious, and you do many, many great things. You help people, you're kind, you're loving. However, you cannot truly worship God and bring glory to God because there's a problem with the heart. And when God sees us, there are certain things that God sees, but I want you to understand that there are things that God does not see. God is not examining the color of our skin. God doesn't look to see if we're wearing name brand clothes. That's irrelevant to God. The Lord is not concerned with where you shop for your attire. He doesn't care if you go to Macy's or JCPenney or Walmart. God is not concerned about those types of things. The Lord, he's not concerned with your social economic status. And the Lord is certainly not concerned whether you're an independent, Democrat, or Republican, because all of those things are irrelevant when it comes to God. But the Bible does say that God looks upon the heart to see what's on the inside, the thoughts and the motives and the intents of the heart. As Jesus, the master teacher, as he went about preaching and teaching during his earthly ministry, he often encountered the religious leaders over the matter of keeping traditions. And when we look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, the text that's been assigned to me, verses 8 and 9 have been assigned, and I'll go ahead and read verse 8 and 9, and we'll get to that here a little bit later on. The Bible says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 8 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, Jesus, the master teacher, describes the danger of traditions. So in order to understand why Jesus made the statement that he made in verses 8 and 9, we've got to go all the way back to verse number 1 and see the setting of what was going on during that particular time. Jesus shows from the text how keeping traditions can make void the very commands of God, and how keeping traditions can make our worship vain before God. So my subject on this evening is the heart that is far from Jesus. The heart that is far from Jesus. When we look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, the Bible said, "Then came Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them," Jesus, he said, "why do you also transgress the commands of God by your traditions?" The Greek word for tradition is paradosis, which means giver or giving over or handing down. It refers to teaching that is handed down by either word orally or in writing. As we look at this scripture contextually, by their traditions, the scribes and the Pharisees had elevated their human traditions above God's law. Included in these traditions were elaborate rules regarding external cleanliness, especially cleanliness related to the hands. Even some of the Jews, they actually believed that demons sat in your hands during the night. And to fail to wash your hands and then eat with your hands was to take into your body this demonic force. The Pharisees were also concerned lest they be defiled by touching something that had been touched by the sinner. They believed that what got on their hands was brought into the body and defiled it. And they were concerned about the fact that Jesus' disciples did not wash their hands before they ate. But Jesus shined the spotlight of truth on their real problem. Jesus exposed what their real problem was. They did not keep the law because they loved God. They kept the law and the traditions of the elders for personal advantage. When we look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, we see this point very, very clearly. Look at verses 4 through verse number 6 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. The Bible said, "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Look at verse number 6. Jesus said, and honor not his father or his mother, lie, or he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. You see, these men, by their traditions, had found a way to circumvent the law when it came to dealing with their parents. And when we look at the law of Corban over in Mark's account in Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13, the Jews would say that all of their personal property had been dedicated to the Lord. And this made them look spiritual and relieved them of their responsibility to care for their parents. And they could go on and say, I don't have anything. I don't have anything that I can give you because it all belongs to the Lord. Of course, this didn't stop them from using the money for their personal needs and their personal wants. But as Jesus continues his word to these religious men, he goes on to quote from Isaiah chapter 29 and verse number 13. And as we continue to go on down through the text, we look at verses number 7 of Matthew's gospel chapter 15. And Jesus uses a very strong word. In Matthew's gospel chapter 15 and verse number 7, Jesus calls them hypocrites. And this word literally means an actor or pretender. These men really believe that they are honestly and devotedly serving God. But Jesus tells them that they are merely actors, playing a part dictated to them by their deceptive hearts. Jesus, the master teacher, the great I am, he reminded these men of two truths that we need to hear loud and clear on this evening. The first truth that I want to share with you tonight as we look at this lesson, the heart that is far from Jesus, the first truth that we need to know tonight is a religious showing does not indicate spiritual worship. A religious showing does not indicate spiritual worship. Just because you're religious doesn't mean that you're close to the Lord. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 15, looking at verse 8, the Bible said, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Just because you attend a church and you sing as loud as you want to sing, just because you wave your hands and you bow in prayer and you listen to a sermon, doesn't necessarily mean that you are spiritual. What do you mean, Brother Sanders? Well, turn with me to John chapter 4. Let me make this more clearer for us. John chapter 4, because Jesus, again, he calls these individuals in Matthew 15 hypocrites, and he tells them that you draw nigh unto me with your mouth, and you honoreth me with your lips, but your heart's far from. In other words, Jesus is saying, I hear you, I see your mouth moving, I hear what you're saying, but your heart is far from me. In John chapter 4, and when we look at this, Jesus, the context, Jesus and the Samaritan woman, guess what they discuss? They discuss the matter of worship. As Jesus ministers to this woman, she finds herself under deep conviction of her sins. Jesus realizes that she has a desperate need to get right with the Lord and that she needs a time of personal worship in her life. But she perceives that Jesus is a prophet and supposes that he might be able to help her understand when, where, and how she should approach God. Although her intentions were admirable, and there's a lot of people in our world today, they have great intentions. And this woman, even in the text on John chapter 4, her intentions were admirable. Her concept in worship was flawed. Samaritans and Jews differed as to where one should worship. In John chapter 4 and verse number 20, the Bible said, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. In verse number 24 of John chapter 4, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we'll get to the truth in just a minute. But what does it mean to worship the Father in spirit? You see, worshiping God in spirit means to offer spiritual worship. What does that mean, Brother Sanders? You see, in order for our worship to be spiritual, we must offer a worship corresponding with the nature and the attributes of God. Let me make it more plainer. In other words, our worship has to fall in line with what God wants and not what we want. Because when it falls in line with what we want, then our heart is far from Jesus, because we're trying to incorporate the way we want to worship. In other words, we're trying to tell the Lord how we're going to worship, and we can't do that. The Lord has already told us how to worship, and it has to fall in line with the nature and the attributes of God, and not what we feel and not what we think. Since God is a spirit, God must receive spiritual worship. New Testament worship is geared more toward the spiritual side of man. Our prayers are to be offered as a sweet incense to God. Our singing is to be offered as a sweet incense to God. But you know what? In the era of postmodernism, the Lord's church, the true worshipers of God, we find ourselves combating subjective belief systems of those who desire to have a worship that is built upon the need for entertainment rather than devotion and reverence to God. In other words, you even have some that those that are members of the Lord's church trying to find themselves wanting to entertain God. And God has never asked us to entertain him. God has asked us to worship him. And when you get to the point where you're trying to entertain God, then your heart is far from Jesus. You know, just because a person goes to worship and they hear the band playing and they're doing the holy dance, you got folk running around, passing out, falling on the floor, that doesn't make you spiritual. Your heart is far from Jesus because you're making worship about you and not about the Lord. Your heart is far from Jesus when you attempt to entertain God in your worship. Your heart is far from the Lord. The Lord never asks for our emotion. And for whatever reason, we're living in a time, and if someone has the answer, they can let me know, but we're living in a time where people feel like that they have to entertain God through emotion, that and they use as an excuse, well, Brother Sanders, you don't know what I've been through. And I constantly hear that narrative. You don't know what I've been through. Well, the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we all have been through something. You've been through something. I've been through something. We all have been through something. In fact, we're all going through something right now with this pandemic. So that excuse or that narrative that's being displayed is a fallacy of saying, well, Brother Sanders, you don't know what I've been through. The Lord never asked for our emotion, but the Lord did ask for our devotion. He wants us to be devoted to him. If our spiritual heart is not exercised and strengthened properly in righteousness, ultimately we will become weak and die a slow spiritual death. Pure hearts demonstrate sound minds in such a manner that a world in darkness can see and witness the glory of the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're living in an age where Satan has launched an assault by tainting the minds of Christians and non-Christians with the beggarly elements of the world. You see, we have to understand that there is an enemy out there. There's an enemy that wants you to fail. Oh, you think that he cares about you, but ultimately he wants you to fail, and our enemy is Satan. And I'm glad that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he told us who our enemy is. It's Satan. Satan has taken it upon himself to ensure that there is enough corruption to destroy the hearts and the minds of men. And when that happens, that's why our hearts are far from Jesus, because we have allowed Satan to infiltrate our lives. He's infiltrated our homes. He's infiltrated every aspect of our lives. And ultimately what happens is he destroys our hearts and our minds and keeps us from seeing Jesus. In order to have clean hearts, we must purge our hearts from evil and replace evil and corrupted thinking with good. Now, remember, I've shared with you point number one, a religious showing does not indicate spiritual worship. So just because you show up and you're dancing and you're waving, that has nothing to do with the Lord. That's not spiritual worship. That's all about you and how you want to approach God. And you have the attitude of having a heart that's far from the Lord. Number two, genuine worship is always grounded in God's truth. Genuine worship is always grounded in, notice, I said in God's truth, not my truth, not your truth, not Dr. Phil's truth, not CNN's truth, not Fox News' truth, but God's truth. If worship is grounded in any other truth rather than God's, your heart is far from Jesus. In Matthew 15 and verse number 9, let's go back to the text. Matthew 15 and verse number 9, Jesus said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." You know what? I've lived long enough to know that man ultimately will find something to worship. I've lived long enough to know that. We live in a time where man, he will find something to worship. What do you mean, Brother Sanders? Man will worship a tree, a dog, a cat, an alligator, a tiger, a bear, a snake, something crawling, something flying, or something swimming. Man will find something to worship. But we have to ask ourselves the question. When we go back to John chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus said, "They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So all those other things that I described, if anybody's worshiping any of those things or anything else other than God, then it's vain worship. Worshiping God in truth means to offer true or real worship. True or real worship is to worship according to the commands of God. You see, acceptable worship, it must be centralized. And before we can render acceptable worship, we must realize that there is only one spectator of worship. Let me say that one more time for those that want to try to entertain God. We need to realize there is one spectator of worship. God is the spectator, and we are the participants. God is the spectator, and we are the participants. Brother Sanders, what do you mean? What do you mean? Worship is participatory. We sing, we pray, we give of our means, we take the Lord's Supper, we hear the word of God. It's participatory. It's not an entertainment center. It's not somewhere where we go and we feel like that we need to be entertained, and when we leave, we feel like that when we leave worship, we should feel like that we have gained something, but it is not a source of entertainment. That's not the way the Lord set it up, because God is the spectator and the object of our worship. God is the spectator, and we are the participants. Man can't decide how he wants to worship God. Let me make it even plainer for you tonight. You can't tell God how you can't tell God how you want to be saved, and you can't tell God how you want to worship him. True worship in John 4:23, Jesus, the master teacher, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Here's what my Lord and your Lord said. Jesus is letting us know in John 4 and verse 23 that there's a distinction between true worshipers and false or hypocritical worshipers. In other words, there's a line of demarcation between the worship God accepts and the worship that God does not accept. And the majority of worship really has nothing to do with what you are doing, but how you're doing it and why you're doing it. And if you're doing it for the wrong motives, it's vain worship, and your heart is far from the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians 4 as we wind this lesson down this evening. Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to look at verse number 17, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and I want to highlight some things in verses 17 and verse number 18. Paul says, the lost. Look at verse number 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Paul says, walk in the vanity of their minds. The word vanity means futility, emptiness, that which is wasted in nothing. And these individuals, they live empty lives because their minds are corrupted by the sin which dwells in them. They can't even get close to the Lord. Why? Because sin is separating them from the Lord. Thus, every thought is corrupted by evil. These individuals, they search for ways to serve the flesh or the selfish desires of the mind. Your heart is far from Jesus when you look for ways to serve the flesh and selfish desires. They invent false gods, false religions, false ways, false ideas, false goals, false philosophies. You know, Solomon said one time, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16 and verse number 25. Look at verse number 18 of Ephesians 4 as we wind this down this evening. Paul says their understanding is darkened and they are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The word blindness refers to stubbornness. It speaks of a heart confronted with truth, but which refuses to embrace that truth. There are many of you that are listening tonight that are not members of the Lord's church. My question to you tonight is, will you embrace truth or will you refuse to accept truth? Find the facts, face the facts, and follow the facts. Again, will you embrace truth or will you refuse to accept truth? And the truth doesn't change because we don't like it. The truth is going to remain the same. Just because you walk away tonight and you may not want to ask questions or inquire about who, inquire with the person who brought you on this call, just because you walk away angry, the truth is not going to change. The truth of God's word is going to remain the same. Jesus died for his church. Jesus died, and I'm glad that Jesus named his church. I'm so glad that he named his church, the Lord's church, the bride of Christ. The Bible tells us, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18, that he is the head of the body of the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has the preeminence. The government doesn't have preeminence. The governors don't have preeminence. Jesus has preeminence. In fact, the Lord is going to have the final say. So my question to you tonight is, will you listen to the Lord or will you listen to the whims and opinions of men? I believe that I will listen to the Lord because that's a much better deal than listening to someone else. I will listen to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord has already suffered, bled, and died. The Lord has already went through a terrible, terrible, agonizing death. He died in our place. He was hit upside the head. He was blindfolded, and he was hung up on that cross for our sins. He died in our place. Yes, the one that's the head of the church died in our place. Why would you not want to follow someone like that? Why would you not want to give your life to someone like that, him being Jesus Christ? There was no sin and no guile found in his mouth. And he hung up on that cross between the twilight of two worlds, and he uttered not a word. He died in our place. When they pierced him in his side, the Bible said out came blood and water. He purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse number 28. Brother Sanders, tell me more about how I can become a member of the Lord's church. What do I need to do to become a member of the body of Christ, this Jesus that you're talking about? And I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus that you have hanging up on your wall, not Charlton Heston that's played in all those movies, but I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible. And that's what we need to get back to, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the Jesus of the Bible. You heard his word tonight, and I've given it to you as plainly as I possibly can. The question tonight is, do you believe God's word? Don't believe Brother Sanders. Don't leave this call tonight saying, well, Brother Sanders said. I want you to leave this call tonight saying, the Bible said. Do you believe God's word? The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, the next question is, are you willing to change? Are you willing to repent of your sins? And repentance just means to change. It means to turn. And all of us, either we're following Jesus or we're following Satan. Because the Lord said you can't serve two masters, Matthew 6 and verse 24. So the question tonight is, who will you serve? Sometimes we don't like to use the word slavery, but I'm a slave to Jesus. I don't mind being a slave to Christ because he's my head. He's my everything. And for everything, all the torture and the torment and the trauma that he went through, he's my Lord because he died in my place. He took that whooping for you and for me. So will you change your life and give your life to Christ. You have to make that decision. And it's a decision that you ultimately have to make on your own. I can't make it for you. The person that brought you on the call tonight can't make it for you. But you have to make the decision for yourself. And you don't have to go back and consult with your pastor or your whoever that you need to consult with, family members. The Apostle Paul didn't do it in Galatians chapter 1. You don't have to go back and consult with family. You have the Word of God right in front of you. The question is, are you willing to accept truth? And after you have decided that, you know what, Brother Sanders, I am going to change, then you need to confess. Who do I confess? You confess Jesus, Romans 10 and verse number 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth you acknowledge. With the mouth, confession is made into salvation. And upon that confession, we'll baptize you. We'll find someone to make sure that you are baptized into the Lord's church for the remission of your sins. And you'll come up a new creature in Christ. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You'll come up a new creature in Christ. Your name will be written in heaven. That's not the end. It's the beginning. And if you live faithful until death, heaven can and will be your home. The question tonight is, will you still continue to live your life with a heart that's far from Jesus? Or will you say, or will you make the decision and say, Lord, I need thee. I need thee. The heart speaks the truth when the flesh dispenses lies. The heart unmasks the reality and distinguishes fact from perception. The heart reveals the reality of what is inside of an individual. If your heart is far from Jesus, I've told you how you can get closer to Jesus tonight. Think about it. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Brother Sanders. We appreciate you. I, too, am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thankful that he died for my sins according to the scripture. And it was him who said, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine, the commandments of men. But the hearts are far from me, meaning they don't know what you've taught tonight. Many tonight who are believers in Jesus don't know the truth. And we thank you for expounding on that for us, and we appreciate you so very much for that. And y'all listen, all you who are on the call tonight that are not members of the Church of Christ, we don't want you to be in that category of vain worshipers. Those whose hearts are far from him don't have the knowledge of the basic doctrine of Jesus Christ or teachings of Jesus and what it takes to save your soul. Brother Sanders told you that tonight. You need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Be added to the one church, the Church of Christ. Obey that truth and get away from vain worship. And so tonight, if you have a question, please email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Or perhaps you want to go back and listen to Brother Sanders' message tonight and dissect it and take down the scriptures, go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's Holland Heights. COC.net, and there you find all the flyers and all of the recorded messages from not only Brother Sanders, from all of our speakers since the month of May. And you may be able to listen to any topic you may have interest in, whether it be the One Church, the Church of Christ, the baptism. All that information is there for your use. You can go to our YouTube, just YouTube, Highland Heights Church of Christ in Houston. And you'll find all our YouTube and also all our Facebook. It's Holland Heights Church of Christ in Houston. And all this information is there for your use and for you to take the time you need to review what we're teaching you from the Scripture. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for Jesus the Christ, your Son, your only begotten Son, who hung, bled, and died on Calvary, with nails in his hands and his feet, who suffered that cruel death of execution by crucifixion, and shedded the blood that washed our sins away in baptism, and that it purchased his church, his bride, his wife, the Church of Christ. Lord, we're honored to be members of the church. We pray your blessings upon us as we reach out to those of our friends and family and loved ones who don't know this simple truth. We thank you, Father, for Brother Andy Sanders today. Now we pray a special prayer for those whose hearts are far from Jesus, and that they're worshiping in vain because they don't know the truth. but they've obeyed with the gospel, the commandments of men. And we pray we've done this tonight. Brother Sanders has done a great job. We pray that our audience will receive it with meekness, that they're able to save their souls. Father, we love you for loving us. We know there is no greater love than that you've done, and that you sent your son. His greatest love he's ever shown was giving his life for us. We love you for that. We pray for our efforts, for our meeting, and for this call. And thank you for our visitors. We pray your blessings upon them, that they too can receive this truth with meekness. For it's from your word, and it's able to save us all. In Jesus' name, we do pray this prayer. Amen and amen. We thank you so very much for tuning in tonight. Let's close out this week with another great gospel sermon from Brother Gary Colley, one of our what we call repeat defenders. Brother Colley's been on with us every month, someone I've grown to love, very knowledgeable in Scripture. You do not want to miss him tomorrow night. He's going to cover Romans chapter 6, obeying from the heart, that form of doctrine. We've done heart surgery this week. Brother Parker, Brother Minor, Brother Harper, Brother Sanders, Brother Colley will close us out. Please don't miss out tomorrow night. You need to hear this message. I pray you have a good night's rest. May God bless.